You are listening to The Edge, a podcast for personal development junkies and visionaries living right at the precipice of oh shit meets fuck yeah. I'm Nadia Munda, an embodiment and relationship coach and a lover of all edges. Stick around to listen to raw, unpolished conversations where we explore our personal and collective edges in all their erotic glory. Just take a moment to feel into what is truly present for you and your heart around this topic of sexuality and eroticism that you wanted to bring to the session today. Perhaps it's a recent challenging scenario that came up for you, or a somatic block, or something that just felt curious and confusing, and you would love some support around it.
So right now what comes up for me is I think related to this topic, especially the one of safety, a lot. So I'm right now in between where I explore myself a lot, or I'm trying to explore myself a lot in a sexual way, like in a pleasure way. And I feel that I can step by step slowly stretch the edges of this, experiencing more pleasure in my body. But on the other side, I do feel that something is indeed kind of blocking me, or then there's like fear coming up, like how can I hold this pleasure when I'm not in my safe space, but when I'm in the outside world. How is this going to be perceived by others? And yeah, I think with this, a lot of like sometimes fear-based thoughts come up, and then I feel that I contract in my body a bit, and it's a bit more, it's harder to to come into this full state in my body.
So I just want to check in and see that I'm hearing you correctly. So you're exploring these edges of your pleasure experience. Is it primarily in self-pleasure at home in a practice, or is it primarily in relationship with another person?
So right now it's more self-pleasure based. With myself in a safe space. To first explore what's going on with my body. And I actually do not fear right now even the urge to explore with another man. Like, of course, I do have the desire, but I know it's not going to be in a space where I just casually hook up with a guy on a, you know, Saturday night. But it's for me, it really, if I want to be intimate with another man, then I know for myself it needs to be in a very safe way, and for me best would be actually in a more committed way. Because previously I had I've been going through stages or relationships where it's was not really committed, and that's also why I feel I'm going through this stuff, because there was never really a safe base to start with.
So I
feel this is reflected in my body with my self-pleasure, because I never really could let go completely, right? So it's, this is the ongoing process I'm right now in.
That's so beautiful. And so are you finding new edges and new layers of pleasure when you have created this safe space for yourself in your own exploration?
So this is really what I feel I'm growing a lot in at the moment, because I feel that sometimes the way I was pleasuring myself was very much in a mental way. So I had this image in my head, not necessarily from porn or something, just like from myself. And I think I was not really listening to my body, and sometimes even myself, I was going over my own boundaries and pleasure. I was like, okay, so let's do this, because this might feel good. But actually my body was saying, no, this is not good. So I'm also right now really trying to go back, actually, not because yeah, I need to say that also on social media right now, many especially women coaches in this area,
yes.
you hear a lot of like, yeah, the deeper the orgasm, the better, and da da da. And I sometimes actually, for a period of time, yeah, it was really got into me unconsciously, I think. And I was like, okay, so let's do this and this. So I feel magnetic and blah blah blah. And I felt, okay, this is actually not working for me at all, because it means going over my boundaries. It means doing it from a headspace. So yeah, it's really about going back the whole way and straight to the start of what my body wants.
I have so many things to to talk about in all that you shared, and we may hit on these different points at some point, but I want to make sure we're focusing on what's challenging you. And so I want to make sure we get this piece clear, mm-hmm, and then we'll move into some of what's going on in the coaching spaces and the pleasure coaching spaces.
Okay.
So I'm hearing that you are in this beautiful new exploration of self-pleasure. You're doing it through sensation, through your body's yes and no, not through what was, what's told from the outside. Mm-hmm. Oh, you should do this or you should do that. And not from what your mind is thinking should be the thing you're doing. So all of that's beautiful. And I'm hearing that the challenge for you is now taking that capacity of pleasure, mm-hmm, and integrating it outside of the safe space that is, let's say, your home or your bedroom or wherever it is.
Yeah, exactly. Especially, I feel this is one point. And the other one is that it's also like the duration, kind of it feels a bit mechanical, but let's say, when I feel pleasure, then it's, of course, I feel, I can also feel my breath, hold it longer in my body, and then energy is like shifting and stuff like this. But then after a while, I struggle with feeling still the connection to this. So when I say I go out and go to the park, and after a while, I feel I lose connection to my body and then to this pleasure. So it's, I just feel it for a certain amount of time, and then I feel, oh no, the connection is gone, or it's harder to go back to it. And then
So tell me, what is the most ideal version for you? Like, you would want to, if you could wave a magic wand, mm-hmm, and have whatever you wanted, you would go out into the world, and how would you be?
Mm. I think a big part is to be very grounded. Yeah, to be, first of all, very, very grounded in myself. I guess I feel I'm sometimes quite airy in a way, like bubbly, and then I lose this connection. So grounded and very soft. Yeah, I really, I just want to be relaxed and soft in my body. And I think through this, already is coming this more pleasurable feeling in my body. So it's, I think it's not about needing to think about it, but creating just so much space that it's naturally there. That would be my ideal version. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And right now, when you are in spaces at home where it feels good, you find yourself feeling really grounded, soft, and relaxed in that embodiment?
Not always. So sometimes yes, but especially I notice also after pleasuring or experience pleasure in my body, that yes, these thoughts come up, or like I sometimes feel, okay, now I'm for a certain while in my body, but then there's like again this immediately grasps of like thinking and thoughts. So, and I feel this might be also connected to like the fear-based thing that I mentioned before. So yeah, it's sometimes I'm in my body, but I also switch, especially after like really beautiful, more intensely pleasure, I feel that I switch a bit more easier to safety because it's a bit more, it feels a bit more, yeah, known and safe to, yeah, to be not that open.
And so what are some of the thoughts that come up?
So sometimes, it's basically, it's different, but it has to do with, okay, what would happen outside? Or sometimes it's that I'm being taken advantage of, like not like vividly in my mind, but that I feel like, oh, okay, no, I can't be like this open because then there might be danger to it. Or my mind is switching sometimes to ex-partners where I see myself in just like intimate situations, and then this stuff is coming up again. And yeah, I also sometimes feel actually quite sad after pleasure. So this, yeah, this is also coming up.
So wouldn't you agree that it is sometimes dangerous for us to be so open and so soft?
Yeah, it is. It is. On the other side, I just love this feeling, and I just would love to be more in this feeling. So,
yeah, yeah. Mm. So I think what's important for us to be able to get clarity on and discern for you is exactly what it is that is going to support you the most and what you're desiring the most in terms of translating this depth of feeling out into the world. Because I'm actually hearing that it's a depth of feeling, not necessarily pleasure.
Yeah.
That there's a difference, right? Because, and in a way, it's different, but also it isn't, because the result of depth of feeling for a feminine being is actually pleasure. We feel good when we are allowed to feel, when we are connected to whatever is true to us, which could be sadness. But the sadness feels good. It's like when we say, oh, I just had a good cry, right? It's like there's something so, it just feels good to have that good cry because it's actually what was true. And it felt worse when we were holding back the tears because maybe I was in public or I was doing this grocery shopping and it wasn't the time, and quote unquote, right? And then I get home and I burst into tears, and at the end I feel good. I'm like, yeah, finally, that's out of me.
Yeah, I think right now also the thing is, yeah, that after pleasure, yeah, I do feel pretty often actually sad, and I do sometimes also have that I cry after pleasure when it's like really was it was beautiful in my body, and then I feel like, oh, there's this energy release coming, and I feel this really deep-hearted cry, but as you said, it feels good. And I sometimes, yeah, I think this is like a bit, I'm torn between, okay, so yeah, I'm feeling the field, I'm releasing it, I just go with my body, and you know, if it says no, it's no, and that's fine. But I wonder also, okay, so how much does it need until I will feel mainly pleasure without like this sadness, you know? So I'm very curious about this whole, you know, old woman's story in their womb, in their heart, and how this is released by pleasure. And it's super interesting, but yeah, I'm also wonder how much, yeah, time. I don't know if anybody can answer this anyway, but yeah.
I hear you. Yeah. So I'm really starting to understand that the desire here is, okay, so I want more pleasure both in my safe space, and also I want to embody that more out into the world.
Yes.
And I'm wondering if actually we might be more served with a different perspective and with a different question, which is one of, why are we so obsessed with always being in pleasure? Why is that what the aim is.
Yeah, that's a really good one. And to be honest, yeah, if what comes up right now is, I think a lot, I have literally this image in my head of like these coaches online, like for real, where it's like, oh yeah, be magnetic, and you know, like when you're in pleasure, you can manifest your whatever you want kind of thing. And I feel this is a lot what comes up, to be honest. And also I feel the another part that's probably more personally, but it's like I have this thing where I feel, okay, if I'm not so much in pleasure, I might not be desirable. Right. Ooh, so that's a big one.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you a question. Have you ever experienced someone you love, could be a friend, family, romantic partner, who burst into tears or just was in like a space of, yeah, just like grief or sadness or disappointment, and they were just expressing it in front of you, and your heart opened, like you felt, I want to go hug them. I want to go sit next to them and hold their hand. I want to be here and just support them. Is that something you've ever experienced?
Yes, for sure.
Isn't, wouldn't you describe that pull towards them as a magnetism?
Yes, like this deep empathy or love for them.
Yeah. So that is the experience of being magnetized by another person's heart. And their truth, them expressing their truth, which isn't pleasure. Like that person is not in pleasure. That person is in pain. But there is a draw towards them. There's a softening of your heart. There's a desire to help. There's a desire to support, to be there. And they're not consciously going, I want to pull this person in. They're just feeling their feelings.
Yeah. And they're, this is the thing, because right now, I think this is what really is probably triggering me, because in my last relationship, we had a situation where it was kind of heated, very emotional. It's like discussion, I wouldn't say fight, but it was quite hurting for each other. And I remember that afterwards, I actually was very happy that my then former boyfriend was kind of emotional, because he normally is not that. So I actually was kind of happy that I triggered him a bit, which sounds maybe a bit, you know, but it was good to see him feeling. But then afterwards, I was very emotional and I cried, and he was like, oh yeah, you're so emotional. And I still sometimes feel this coming up, like this deep pain of like, I just wanted to be held in this moment. And he was like, yeah, you're just so emotional. And I felt him like close, like not really. And this is what you just described before. It's like the ideal situation, but with what I experienced before, it was not like this. So yeah.
So that's the same as not being desirable.
Yeah.
Right. So if someone is judging you, and if you in particular, you know, and thank you for sharing that vulnerable situation, it's really tough to have someone make a judgment like that, essentially, you know, and it probably wasn't their intention.
No.
Right. To be harmful, but it happened. And emotionality being pinned on women historically is a big sore point for us.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, emotionality is weak. Right. Emotionality needs to be tucked away. I know my father was like that. Bless his heart. Love him to death, but stop being dramatic, Nadia. Why are you crying? Call me back when you're not crying. Well, right. So, yeah. So I hear you. And so many people, and not just women, by the way, right? In the system of the patriarchy, any human who has a lot of emotions is labeled as weak.
Yeah.
And we ask them to stuff it away. And so there is something beautiful about expanding our capacity for pleasure. And then there is a place where we are now bypassing our truth in this realm of pleasure. Right. So when we, the shadow side of the pleasure revolution out there in the industry, which is what I'm feeling your body is picking up on.
Yeah.
Is that, of course, there's such a beautiful medicine to expanding that capacity. And at what point does it become a crutch? Does it become a thing that we use to not actually do the other work, which is to accept ourselves in the sadness, accept ourselves in the anger, to accept ourselves in the grief, especially in the face of having had situations where someone has labeled us a certain way or made a judgment and said, you should not, that's not, you shouldn't be that emotional. So now we internalize that judgment. Now you are judging yourself. There's a one voice in your head that goes, oh, okay, but when are we going to stop crying after orgasm? When are we going to get to like the giggles and the fun? Because somehow there's a hierarchy in your system, like, oh, that's better. It would be better. I would be more evolved. I would be further in the journey if I just feel the pleasure and the expansion and the openness and the joy and the ecstasy after orgasm and not like bawling my eyes out. And our work is the opposite. It's to be so accepting of whatever is actually true. And sure, it can be frustrating. I mean, I have been, it's so rare that after a peak orgasm, which I actually refer to as a masculine orgasm. So, and for anyone listening, and in case you've never heard this before, it's like there's the feminine orgasm and the masculine orgasm, and anyone can have either. But of course, in our world, we've been very much focused on the masculine orgasm, which has a very clear peak and a very clear drop. So it's a huge surge of energy and release, which often then, you know, we have that, like whatever is true bubbles up to the surface. And so, yes, in a masculine and a feminine is more of like a wave. You never actually, there's no peak. It's just a consistent, it's like being, you know, on a boat and just being like riding the waves. And you're still in a peak orgasmic state, but there isn't one point that you reach where there's an explosion or a release, but it's actually just like, you know, and often the feminine orgasms actually increase our capacity to be with feeling. But, you know, because the other one, you know, you hit a peak feeling and then you done. So, I mean, that's a little side note, but so when with masculine orgasm, it is pretty much close to zero that I do not cry afterwards. and that's been going on for so many years. So if I sat there and judged myself and tried to make it any different, like, oh, why am I always so sad? Well, first of all, there's an assumption that tears equal sadness. And yes, there are many times that yes, we feel deep sadness. And that often is either a sadness that we're feeling in our bones that we were never allowed to feel. And so we reach this level, this vibration that allows us to actually be in the feeling. And then honestly, sometimes for feminine beings, we tap into the pain of the world. And we feel that because we're in a heightened state. And I've had times, in particular, the first few months of COVID, where every single time I would reach a peak state, I would feel the pain of the entire world in my body. I mean, it felt so heartbreaking. And at the same time, there's still a pleasure in that depth of feeling. It's a very nuanced, but what I believe every person can handle, which is like, you can be in the duality, in the range, in the, oh, wow, this feels amazing because it's true. And also my heart is breaking for everyone in pain around the world because I can feel it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I feel so much release right now in my body. That's so, I feel it's good to let go of this pressure and to understand what you just said right now on a different level, that, yeah, sadness is not, you know, like pleasure is not excluded from sadness. And also it feels very good because sometimes I also had this in mind where I was like, okay, so if I don't feel pleasure, then I'm not magnetic, right? So just like, but of course, this is, you know, what you just said. It's, I feel actually that being magnetic is not so much about pleasure at all, but just more about your true feeling.
Exactly.
In a way. Yeah. And that feels, it also feels way better. Like, why should it be in another way, right? Like being a magnetic is like, it's, I think it's like just a natural state, like of a woman, for example. And why should it be connected to any conditions at all? So that's, yeah, that feels very good.
Well, that's so good to hear that your body is exhaling. With the feeling of that, taking off the pressure of pleasure, because pleasure with pressure is not pleasure.
No.
It's just another thing we have to do because the world is telling us that's the formula. Oh, yeah. The formula to magnetic success is every day, get that rose quartz crystal wand and shove it up your yoni, even if you don't want to, right? Like, it's like,
exactly this. Yeah.
Yeah.
And just to another like note, because we know this pleasure topic. So I wonder, I'm not sure if you can answer this or want to answer this, but I do wonder as well, because, you know, there, especially in this world, pleasure industry, there are many people advertising these crystal wands. And I wonder, like, for people who might not, you know, know something about it, like, I actually brought one from, I think it was quite serious place, but I also heard afterwards, or I just read an article that, you need to be quite careful because if it's not like, if there are like certain bumps in it, you know, like it can, you know, it must be like really, like a good quality in a way. So I wonder, okay, so what's important to focus on is every wand even good? Because, you know, like, I see sometimes, okay, there's like this thing, okay, this is perfect for like your G-spot and this is perfect for like a deep one and so on and so forth. So I wonder, okay, so just, do you go just by intuition or how do I figure actually out what it's right for my body?
Such a great question and such an important topic. And I don't have a definitive answer, but I have some questions I think everyone should ask themselves, right? And some points to sit with. So my experience is that, and again, this is just my personal body. Everyone's different. My first experience, my introduction to crystals inside the body was a jade egg. So I had worked, I think I was taking, it was Layla Martin's, I don't know if you know her, but she's a sexuality coach and she has a course, a jade egg course. And so I was working with that. I ordered one, you know, part of the course, I think you get the egg and it's supposed to be really well sourced crystal, right? So of course, step one on a very logical 3D level, let's say, you know, sourcing from a good place, someone who, when they're really verified, which of course, to a certain extent, we have to just sort of trust, like, okay, some, you know, brands will say this is the highest quality. It's like, how do you really know? Obviously, at least not just buying it on Amazon or whatever, or just like from the place down the street. So yeah, like at least putting some research into where it's coming from. So I had, I had a very well-sourced, I know Layla personally, and I know I trust her integrity. And so I knew that what I was going to get was going to be high quality. With that said, I did not feel good when it was inside me. And at first I was like, my head was like, oh, this was just part of the work. And then I just kept trying to do it and was like, this is not the right stone. It's actually not the vibration I need. Right. And that was just my personal experience. And so I say this as an invitation for you and for everyone listening, that other people had the most amazing experience with that same exact egg, because the same one was sent to hundreds of people. Mm-hmm. My body, that wasn't the medicine I needed. It's like saying to someone, oh, oranges are great, you should eat them all the time, vitamin C, da, da, da. And then another body is like, ooh, that really makes me feel acidic. And actually, I don't digest it very well, right? They might have a citrus intolerance. So we have to remember that crystals are very powerful. But again, similar to food or anything else that has power, it's going to work for some people and it's not going to work for others. So it's not just how high quality it is, but it's literally which stone it is. And so for me, I found intuitively that the, like a rose quartz felt way better in my system. It's what I needed as part of my, my opening sexually was more heart energy. And so, so that was what worked. The other thing to think about as well is that crystals are just like anything. You can program anything. You can program water. You can program a stone, right? I have a, one of my most prized possessions is like a random little stone that my partner picked up on a hike. And we did a little ritual and put all of this energy and our vision into that stone. It's just like a random stone off the floor. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like some fancy crystal. And to me, when I touch it, I feel the power. And so we have to trust that we as energetic beings and all the materials around us, which also hold energy, because literally everything is just energy, we can alter the state. Now, obviously water, crystals, certain elements are more programmable than, you know, maybe like a piece of paper or something. But even a piece of paper, you can program. This is some witchy shit we're getting into, but anyways,
that's cool.
The point is that like anything else, you can argue both. You can say, oh, this crystal is the worst thing for me ever, whether it's holding it or putting it in my body, or this is the best thing ever. It's so much about the intention that you put and the care and energy you put into it. If you're just buying it off the street and then putting it right up you without cleansing it, clearing it, holding it by your heart, like just feeling it and putting your own energy into it, it's going to feel like a foreign object. The more you hold it, the more it's next to you, the more you're giving it very intentional energy, the more it could be an extension of you and it can feel a lot safer. So ultimately, there's no right or wrong. And there's no one way to do it or the other. It is partly intuitive and it's also partly just the intention and the energy you put into it.
Okay. Yeah. I also actually had my first experience with the yoni egg. And I wonder, because we talked about like emotional release, energetic release, in which way does it actually support the woman body if you use this yoni egg? Like, I feel this is a good start if you, because I could not back this time use directly like a pleasure wand. This would have been way too intense for me. I needed to start slowly, but I just want in general, like what your perception is of this zodiac, what it can bring like for benefits to the womb, to like to the energetic release of the woman.
You know, so I'll say this, like, I am not at all an expert in the yoni egg and or crystal wand department. Mm-hmm. And so there's only so much I know mind-wise about it and the benefits. And I'm sure there's a lot. I've heard so many women love that so much. It didn't work. It didn't feel like the tool for me personally. And my recommendation for anyone, because I know it can only be a good thing, is use your own body, like use your own fingers. When you have pain, which by the way, I really need to normalize that it's pretty much, it's so rare for any woman to not have pain somewhere. And her vaginal wall opening around her anus, like on the lips, clitoris, wherever. We hold so much tension there. It can literally be from exercises you do at the gym, from the way you sit in front of your computer. It's not even necessarily sexual blocks. It has nothing to do with you as a sexual erotic being. It's just muscles. And they're the muscles that get massaged the least. You go for a massage, no one's going to massage that area. That's fucked up, right? Unless you're going to a pelvic PT person.
Yeah. Right?
Then, which is beautiful and incredibly helpful. But you can also be your own pelvic PT. And there's actually, I want to shout out Carly Ray, who does beautiful pussy work, pussy massage, where she teaches a class. I think it's called Nectar. So now I'm promoting her course. I took it and she really teaches you how to use your own, fingers and hands, as a daily practice in opening the muscles. And it's very physiological, but no one, even if you're massaging yourself every single day, which most of us don't have the time or discipline to do, there's always going to be, it's like saying, oh, I have a body, but I never, ever get a sore muscle, or I never, ever get tense in my shoulders. Not possible. Right. It's very rare that you come across a body like that. And so same thing with the vagina. It's like, it's going to be tense in places. You could be clamping, holding, et cetera. So, just to go back to your question about the crystals and the jade egg and all that, truly that surface can be helpful. It can absorb some things, but if you're not sure, or you're trying it and it's not feeling like the best thing for you, or let's say you just don't even have, you know, money to invest in a tool like that, your hands are free. They're already on your body. You can use them. And of course, you know, certain people will have methods of, like, you know, going in a sort of clockwork manner, or there's certain ways, like techniques you can use with your fingers. But ultimately, you are going to intuitively, it's sort of like massaging your own hands or arms, right? Like, you know where the tension is, and you just go there and you just start to push, and you know how hard to push down and what pressure you like. It's going to be the same thing. If you're truly feeling yourself, you're going to know what your vagina needs. Exactly. But you have to slow down enough and breathe slowly enough to really feel what's needed. And to me, that's actually the best way to start to open yourself and start to get to know your own anatomy. Like, oh, wait a second. Oh, I'm always tense at that one spot. And actually, that's what hurts sometimes during, you know, intercourse. Is like that exact spot, like that's always like, you know, 30 degrees this way or whatever. Like, you start to learn your body. And to me, that is one of the most empowering tools and practices that any woman can do.
Yeah, I think it's really beautiful also that you normalize everything around this, around yoni mapping and whatsoever, because I feel it's so beneficial for us women. But if you're not directly like in this bubble of like, you know, learning about pleasure on social media, then you're probably not familiar with all the stuff you can do just on your own, as you said. So Yeah, it's very nice, and I feel it's so empowering to talk about it, because yeah, unfortunately, why I also wanted to talk about this topic is that I know many friends in my field, like in my surroundings, when I talk with them about yeah, having an orgasm or just having pleasure oneself, I hear so many women in my my fear to say no, it's not, they don't experience this with their partner or like rarely on their own. So I feel it's, yeah, it's so good that we have some, yeah, some sort of education around this topic, right? So women feel more empowered or safe to go to their own pleasure place and explore
and their own feeling place, because I think what we're, you know, what I want to loop back around to, because I know we went off into the crystal world for a moment, which is important, very important. And it comes back to, and what I'm really hearing is like the crux of today's conversation is, we have this a little bit of like too much focus on one type of feeling, the feeling of pleasure, which is like light, right? It's in the light spectrum. It's like, oh, that spiritual bypassing of light and love and pleasure, light and love and pleasure, right? And it's like, okay, but our human experience is the entire like spectrum, from dark to light, from night to day, from summer to winter, from grief to ecstasy. And when we get a little too focused and tunnel visioned into pleasure, 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 that's somehow better to be in the experience of than grief, then what we're doing is we're denying ourselves the full range of the human experience. And that's when we put pressure on ourselves to be something we're not. We try to not accept what actually is true in the moment, which is, oh yeah, I'm just one of those people who cries every single time after I have a big release. Like, what if that were just the, like, what if we just accepted that we're deeply feeling, sensitive humans who feel all sorts of feelings, and that tears is one way that the body releases it?
Yeah, that's definitely I don't even know, I just feel so relaxed and just very good in the space. So yeah, that's I also have actually one thing that comes up, because I think one part is, okay, how to feel pleasure, or like at least maybe not pleasure, but let's say how to feel safety when I go outside in the, you know, out of my safe space. So I wonder how to be just in my powerful kind of expression in a safe way outside. So when the focus is not on pleasure, but just on feeling like authentic, feeling grounded, how to hold this energy outside of your safe space.
Yeah, that's great. I'm so glad we came back to that, because I was going to ask you about that. So grounded, soft, and relaxed, right, are the things that came up for you that you wanted to feel outside in the world, outside of the quote unquote safe space. And so my question to you would really be, okay, well, can you not feel grounded, soft, and relaxed in feelings other than pleasure?
I can feel this. I think it's just that I really need to peel all the layers back of what it means to be a powerful woman in the outside world. Basically, it's just like, yeah, when I go to the core, I think it's exactly this. Like, it's not about how I feel. It's just how I am connected to myself, like grounded or. But especially when I'm outside, I feel sometimes that this kind of protective wall is coming up, like this safety wall. And then I'm more in this leaning forward, and I feel like I have more of like a control grip.
And
then it's not so much like anymore in this like relaxed, soft space, or like, you know, so.
So I'm hearing gripping, I'm hearing protection, I'm hearing wall, right? Like, so just for us to get it into the sensation. Okay. So that's the embodied experience you're having that you're not liking, because you're like, I actually want to feel grounded, soft, and relaxed, which there's no wall there. There's no gripping there. It's the exact opposite. And so the world, let's be real, is occasionally dangerous, right? It is not a safe world. It's the truth. And for, sorry for anyone listening, if you're like, what, you know, like there's light and there's shadow, there's light and there's dark. It's just the reality of nature and the world that we live in and the earth and planet that we're on. So it would not be probably advised to be 100% open at all times out in the world. There's a reason we have a protection mechanism. It's to keep us alive. Every single animal has this. Every animal has a moment where it instinctually goes, uh-oh, danger. If we didn't have a fear response that protects us, we would die. So again, coming back to this place of acceptance, which seems to be the theme of today's call, it's like, it's not about trying to be always open, always in pleasure, always feeling safe. A healthy nervous system and an animal, which is what we are, that wants to, that has a high likelihood of surviving, right, is one that has a dynamic nervous system, not a static one. So if we stay static, either in I'm always open and enjoy, or I'm always closed and in fear, neither one of those is good because it's static. But if we're like, oh, I have the ability, the capacity, the tools to open, but then I also have the survival mechanism that scans my environment and goes, uh-oh, a car is coming at me. I should probably clench, you know, clench my butt and jump over to the other side before it hits me. Like, that's a good response because it keeps you alive. If you stayed open and relaxed and you were like, oh, okay, the car is coming at me, not going to go well, right? Like, you might experience pleasure, you know, wherever you go next, but it won't be on Earth. Right.
Yeah.
And so, so we have to remember again that it is the range that we need to be accepting. But here's where we get into our own way. And here's where the survival mechanism becomes an issue. It's when we go out and all we can do is brace, all we can do is grip, all we can do is put the wall up because it's terrifying. That's again a static response. So, what I'm really hearing from you and what I hear from so many people who come to me is like, what you really want is to have access to the dial that allows you to bring up the volume on your ecstasy, your joy, your pleasure, your open, relaxed state when it feels okay, and then closing it, bringing it down when it doesn't feel, not even that it's not that it's dangerous, but just there's times you don't want to. I always use the same example. So people who listen to this podcast are probably like, I've heard this before, but I'll say it again because it's important for us to remember. If you are going out to the grocery store or to run an errand at a shop and you're in your masculine and you just are like, I just want to get the nails and the hammer because at home I'm putting up a painting and like, that's all my only focus. Do you want to go into the store swaying your hips and moaning and being like, oh my God, it feels so good to be in the hardware store. Look at all those nails. Oh my God, it's so hot, right? Like probably not. You're just like, okay, I just want to get the nails and go back home because the pleasure is in the painting that you're about to put up. It's not like you're not trying to get a boyfriend on the way out. Now, listen, sometimes there's a happy coincidence. I know exactly. And that's the thing. Yeah. If your system is open, right? Like I notice when I'm in single energy, like I walk into stores a little different than when I'm taken and I'm like, oh, I'm not trying to look for anything, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so, but the power comes from choosing.
Mm.
And that's the dynamicness of the nervous system. You get to go, today I want to walk in and turn everyone's eyes onto me, because that's like, you know, when we're ovulating, we're like, woo, that's how I feel. Mm. I just want everyone to feel me. And then when you're PMSing, you're like, please no one see me, please no one see me, please no one see me.
Yeah. Right.
So, but this is a good thing because you get to choose. It's we only feel powerless when we don't have a choice. When we go outside and like, oh, I want to be magnetic, but I just feel frumpy and disgusting. And I just feel like the walls are up and I just hate everyone. And I don't know how to get out of it. That's when we feel powerless.
Yeah. And I think it comes really, I just wanted to ask you, okay, how can I bring sometimes it up or not? So I feel it's how can I do it in my body, not in my mind, right? So it's, of course, it's like easy if I have the intention, let's say I want to go to this party and I might want to meet some interesting guys, who knows, how to bring this energy up in my body. Because, yeah, I have this intention in my mind, but I feel for me like this challenge where I want to grow more in is, to dial it in my body.
Yeah.
And learn how to do it.
And this brings us back to safety. So, which is sort of, I mean, we've been in that for the last few minutes, but the question to be with, and you may not be able to answer this in this moment, it's part of the inquiry to sit with after the session, is what do I need? Especially what is like my little girl need? This part of me that's like the most scared, the most tender, and the most unable to protect herself, right? This part of me, what does she need to feel safe? And I would identify, what are some of the things that feel safe when you're at home? And how can you take pieces of that out into the world, knowing that, okay, yes, also sometimes the world is not fully safe. Right? Mm-hmm. So how do we navigate? I mean, this is one of the biggest questions for us as women and feminine beings out in the world, is like we have one foot in the reality of like, oh yeah, it is dangerous. We can't deny that there are still a lot of, you know, toxic, suppressed, dysfunctional energies out in the world that can be violent. And can be manipulative and abusive and hurt us. And there is the reality that for a lot, not everyone, but for a lot of feminine beings, we may be physically weaker. That is a truth, you know? Just see people emailing, yeah, it's not true. I go to the gym 6 times a day. Okay, you know, but like generally, like as a species, and other animal species, it's different, but in humans, generally speaking, women tend to be physically weaker. So this is a reality we're living with. And at the same time, there's the reality of so much of what closes us is stories and projections and future tripping. Like, what if this happens? It's like, it may. And also, what are you choosing in the moment? And how can you create that choice for yourself? And how can you advocate for yourself through? I mean, sometimes it's about creating safety with the person you're having a conversation with, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I would feel a lot better if you're not staring at my tits. Or, you know, I feel a lot safer if I knew. You know, I have a lot of friends who are dating right now and who will just set their boundaries, like on the first date, like, oh, I'm not, like, you will not be coming home with me, right? If that's what they want. Obviously, if you want to come, have fun. Like, I don't care, right? But like, just there's that has them feel safer to soften on the first date. So maybe it's speaking a boundary. Maybe it's your own touch on your skin, right? When I need to ground, or when I just don't feel totally safe or totally in my heart, my hand comes on my chest and I just massage my chest. And for whatever reason, that feels comforting. If I feel disconnected from my sexuality, a trick that I've found over the years in my animal body is my fingers caressing the back of my neck always wakes up my sensual siren.
Cool.
Right? But that's things I learned as I explored my body. And so the invitation is to do the same, is to go, okay, what can I do somatically through breath, touch, sound, and movement, right? Those four elements, breath, sound, touch, movement. How can I just relax my nervous system and regulate my nervous system? Because maybe a guy looked at me and I think he's judging my emotionality. And so it's bringing up my protection mechanism, right? Like, okay, but that's a story. You don't actually know for sure. There's a chance that he's also judging that, because some guys do, and that's their own work. They haven't worked with their own inner feminine, so they're scared of the emotionality of someone else. Like, great, that's their work. But they may still judge you, and that's a truth. We're not going to deny that. But what can you do in your nervous system through touching your own body, through breathing, in a way that allows you to feel as safe as you possibly can in the face of someone's judgment? And then what can you also say in certain scenarios that will help you feel, especially you're a little girl, like, hey, there's an adult protecting me. So actually my boundary is, no, I'm not going to invite you in tonight after dinner. And your little girl goes, okay, someone's got this. The adult is handling things with boundaries, because your little girl doesn't have boundaries. She doesn't even know. She's just like, oh, I don't know. I just want to be loved. Right. Yeah, yeah. And so she's got to feel like there's someone, there's the queen online going, yep, I'm taking care of you. And this is what I'm not going to allow to happen. I'm going to set a boundary.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so that's how we get to be grounded and soft and relaxed in the world, is when we understand what our little girl needs to feel safe, while also being in the truth that, yeah, sometimes people suck and sometimes people haven't figured, because they're just in pain and haven't figured out their own stuff. Right. It's not that they're bad, but some things in the world are not light and love. It's just how it is.
Yeah, I feel, this is, I feel there are so many aspects to like this whole being a woman.
I know.
Which is, I just feel like, there's so many things I could go into as well. And what I just feel right now is also that I do also work a lot with my, or like be with a lot of my inner child. And also here, the range, or like the range challenge for me might be to, because sometimes I feel it's quite static in a way to hold her. Like it's always, I feel so much warmth in my heart and in my whole body. It's beautiful. But I realized that as I was doing this practice, like really intensely to care for her, especially after like my breakup in a way, I was doing this, going with her through like the emotions, I realized that it's like also the dial to, okay, how to care for her, and on the other spectrum still be like in her, in this feminine way, because sometimes I felt as I was caring a lot for her, the other aspect of like being more fluid was not as much present. So it's so interesting and so nuanced to see where you go, how you go, and
Well, I think if there's, I mean, we went into so many different areas in today's conversation, and I would say, like, if you were to really focus on one thing walking away from today, it would really be around, you know, take off the pleasure, the pressure of pleasure. And instead, can you be accepting of what is? In the realm of sexuality, in the realm of embodiment, in your erotic experiences? Can you just accept what is and trust that the pleasure comes from being expressed in your truth, whatever that emotion of truth might be that day? And that that in and of itself is the most magnetic thing to other people and to life opportunities. Because if you sit there gripping, can you imagine you're sad, but you're gripping like, I got to feel pleasure. I got to feel pleasure because life is going to bring me something good if I feel pleasure. That's how I manifest, right? That's why people are so upset, like trying to manifest. They're like, oh, I can do it. Ooh, and they're constipated. It's like, that's not magnetic.
Yeah.
I would much rather you be on the floor bawling your eyes out, being like, oh, the world is horrible, or whatever happens to be, you know, feeling true that day. That is a million times more magnetic. I can't tell you how many, every time I have like a total surrendered meltdown. Well, okay, it's not surrendered. Let me clarify. Sometimes I'm fighting my ass off and then eventually life bitch slaps me into surrender. But when I'm on the floor, like at my absolute like dissolution, right? Which, you know, as an entrepreneur probably happens like once a month. It's like, those are the moments when I get a new client. Those are the moments where I have to hop on the next call and some big opportunity shows up, right? So it's not always when I'm prancing around happy. Mm. It's very often when I'm at my last straw going, I can't do this anymore. I'm canceling my business. I'm canceling my life, right? Like when we go into very dramatic, like grief and frustration. And in those moments, if you open, because sometimes when you cry so much, you open. And then the next day I get an application for a client, right? The next day I get some opportunity to like speak somewhere that's really big, or, you know, those are, and it's not just my experience. I know this from colleagues. And so yes, your grief can be just as magnetic as your pleasure. And that's really where I want to end today, because that's the point that I think will be most life-changing for you and for the people listening, right? Can we be with that truth that grief is magnetic?
That's so beautiful.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. That feels so good.
Wonderful. Do you feel you've got something practical that you can work with in terms of an exercise that you want to take away with today that really encompasses this concept?
Yeah, I feel a lot like this about touch. Because, for example, when these emotions are coming up, I feel it's, for me, very helpful if I just hug myself or put my hands on my heart and be like, okay, I got you, just breathe. And like, also like with my breath, really like going into this. And I feel when I do this and I'm not dissociating into my mind and like stories my mind is telling, but really coming with my hands on my body, I feel this is for me a very good grounding practice. But like, okay, what's here, what's in your body, what's present there, and to get the focus out of what's going in my on in my mind, but rather in in my body.
Beautiful. Beautiful work. Thank you so much.
Thank you. it was so amazing. And thank you so much for giving me so much great great advice, great knowledge. I feel I just definitely need some time to integrate now. It was a pleasure to be with you today. Thank you.
Okay, imagine this. 3 days with me and some other phenomenal women, deepening into your erotic expression, your erotic exploration, your turn on, juicing yourself up right before the depths of winter. You've got a private chef making you the most delicious meals, a hot tub to decompress the day in. You get to spend 3 days really styling, getting seduced by music, getting a deep sense of who you are as an erotic being, okay, in this beautiful retreat nestled in the mountains of Boulder. And at the end of it all, you get an erotic movement photo shoot for yourself to encapsulate this fully, to remember it forever. This is the Erotic Mapping Retreat, and it is happening so freaking soon, and I want you there. This is for a very particular woman who is ready to go into the depths of her truest expression, her deepest range. She is ready to get raw and fucking vulnerable in front of a group of women, and she's ready to just say, fuck yes, let's do it, and let's do it now, because this thing is coming up real soon. November 10th through the 13th, I am taking 6 women on a journey. You walk in and you walk out a different woman. Every single woman who came to the last retreat said that it was life transforming and that they wanted more, more, more. So I've added an extra day to this retreat, and I want you to be there. So if you are interested, hit us up at info@nadiamunla.com, and we will send you a link with all the information. Alternatively, you can check out the show notes in this episode, and we will also have a link at the end to the Erotic Mapping Retreat. I cannot wait to see you there. I love you guys so much. Thank you for listening. We would love for you to rate and review the show, and I'd love to know your takeaways from the episode. You can do that by DMing me on Instagram @NadiaMunla.